it up. But the question is, if Rahi was the original separateness, so that's on the level of spirit, and then spirit comes here and has a life here. It's like Rahi is something in first nature. And second nature is technologies that humans make. And second nature is an echo, a thunder, a replay of first nature, an approximation, a metaphor. Not a metaphor as abstract and unreal, but metaphor is real and part of our perception. So if Rahi returned to essence in 67, I always thought, knowing that from 69 or so when Worcester first told me, and I knew McLuhan's stuff, I said, McLuhan said that the with television, the viewer is the screen. There's no separation like you have in a book. So perception is imploded with television. So isn't it interesting that on the first nature inner plane, Rahi returns to essence, and it's echoed by humans in the second nature environment they make.
Yeah, but why does Rahi return to essence? What's his motivation? It's Rahi and Isis are dancing together.
Right.
Rahi is required or forced to return to essence, or he chooses to return to essence, or what's his motivation?
Well, that's what Dave and I are discussing all the time.
Yeah.
We're trying to probe why this was said, how could such a monumental thing happen, and why did it happen? That's the philosophical question that I engage Worcester on. That's the hidden agenda in the Bob Carr and Worcester talks, because Krishnamurti was a Rahi. Anybody who sets up a priesthood who says there's something better, I'm better, or you should go to a better zone, that's a high priest action. It's saying there's more than this.
Yeah.
And you could get this high level of consciousness. What happened in 67 when Rahi returned to essence, the doppelganger for Jiddu Krishnamurti, Yuji Krishnamurti, has this calamity, and he comes around being the afterimage of Rahi, saying, ignore the Rahi impulse in humans to set up a priesthood.
Yeah.
It's still a Rahi action what he's doing, because he's got a message. But he's trying to really play down the message. And he does a good job. And then that's why I was talking to Bob Marshall yesterday about, because he's finally read the Bob Carr book and processed that. It's pretty interesting for him. And now he'll listen to the Bob Carr tapes and Dave Worcester tapes. But I was telling him that I claim that me and Worcester, that UG is a combination of me and Worcester. And you could say that Worcester is a first nature medium, and I'm a second nature medium. I'm involved with the technology and responding to it and acting out a Rahi action within that, and he's talking about it within an astral body thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
His mediumship. So the combination of me and Worcester is interesting. So the separateness of the second nature from first nature gets merged after 67 or around the time of 67.
Yeah, the other thing that's interesting about the TV, especially the color TV, is because it's light through.
Yeah.
Well, in the astral plane, it said that objects, well, there's no reflected light. There's no light source, and then a solid object from which light is reflecting off into the eye. It's all objects are self-illuminated. They're illuminated from within. They radiate their energy from within. So it's light through. It's like spirit coming through from the inside of the object and then shining out through the object. And that's what
that's
the TV effect
look,
is.
That's how they look on the astral plane. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And now we're recreating that technologically with the neon meat cream of the octopus, as Bifar called it.
Right.
Neon. Glow. Light glow, right? Glow.
Right. And then of course, The psychedelic poster art tried to recreate that effect by you turn off the light, you turn on a black light so that the thing appears to be glowing from within, although it's not, but it appears to be.
Right. So the popular idea that the veil between this world and the next world is eroding, and we don't have to be as afraid of death as other cultures were. That would be one of the effects of the last 30 years of Rahi returning to essence. The separateness of this world from the other world is diminishing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. In the Buddhist cosmology, though, there are six worlds, and they're all merging. But you don't want to. Some of them you just don't want to get stuck in.
In a way, that's what, that's a good point. That's what Will is fascinated by, the underbelly world, mm-hmm. you know, of youth culture or just poverty in that.
Right.
But you, if you haven't heard the interview, you don't know what I'm referring to.
Yeah, I did hear him when he was went off on a tangent and was hanging out with the street people.
So, you know, I'm trying to, it's a difficult interview to do, but I'm going along slowly, and it might put people to sleep, but eventually it gets interesting.
Well, I enjoy it because I like hearing, you know, the evolution of a young guy's in the, you know, in the 21st century, young guy's, you know, evolution, especially you know, you find intelligent people to interview, and it's interesting, you know, to get to sort of have a vicarious experience of growing up through that person's POV.
Yeah. So the okay. So we're talking about Rai and so second. Well, I was explaining second. Yeah. Why did it? Well, it's interesting that if Rai, it did disappear in 67, supposedly. It's very interesting that humanity extended itself. Final extension of itself was a satellite, which created a mini Rai, a little Earth. See, Rai created Earth. So then we create a little Earth with the satellite, right? Extending the planet, 57 mm-hmm. to 67. That happened in human history at this point, you know, 40 years ago.
I have trouble with that metaphor that we created a little Earth. I mean, the satellite is a technological thing which has the apparatus in it to be able to actually sustain you know, the an organic life form for some period of time, but it's not biology, and it doesn't come near biology. It's not growing and replicating. It's not a replication of the Earth. I just have trouble with that metaphor when you do that.
Well, you need to read a little more Bucky Fuller, because he's the one who said it. It's not my idea.
Oh, I didn't know Bucky said
Fuller
that.
Is the one who said that.
Yeah.
He said it was the first time we extended ourselves. And McLuhan would say, the satellite's an extension of the planet. So I'm taking these guys and working with it.
Well, I can see it as we've extended ourselves, but the extension of the planet is just, that's a hard one for me. We've increased the circumference of the surface of the planet in a way, you know, by putting that ring out there.
Yeah, that's a linear extension in a sense. We broaden it out.
And
that mimes the kahuna ring that Worster talks about in the Paranoia interview.
Right.
That the guys did from 67 to 69, or 64 to 69 in that period, and that helped the world, you know?
Right.
It's the inter-astral version of the satellite. But no, just, you know, they're up there living in the space station. We're thinking of the terrestrial. We live in this environment, it keeps us going. Well, we create an environment that we could live where we couldn't live normally. So we create a little Earth, or a little, and we create a life habitat.
Yeah, well, it spawned the, you know, Kubrick vision of the 2001. Would that film come out around what? '68. Yeah. So that extends the imagination into what you're saying. But the actuality is we put radio transmitters up orbiting in space. That's all we did.
No, we put human beings living up on the space station.
Well, eventually we got to that stage,
Yeah, that's what I mean. It began with putting guys in rockets, getting outside of our environment and walking around on the moon.
Yeah.
So I just it doesn't seem hard for me to think of it as extending the terrestrial environment. Anyways,
that's a little bit more technical. I can go with that a little easier, extending the terrestrial environment. But extending the planet, when I think of the planet, I think of, you know, the whole organic biosphere. And we certainly didn't extend that, really.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's sort of talking about one aspect of what the word planet evokes for you.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that does happen. In the same period. That's what's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And now what's the significance of the Shockley earthquake? That was in 2000. When was that? What year?
February 2001.
2001. So that's 20, 32 years after Rahi returns to essence.
Yes, 34.
Yeah.
It's 34 years.
Right.
But after the 33-year cycle, the Freemasonic 33 years, Worster used to say that Western people who are mystical inclined or psychotical inclined often would go nutty in their 33rd year because they were acting out subconsciously the 33rd year of Christ.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so 67 to 33 is 2000, you know, and then you have this whole 2000-2001 period where this happens.
Plus, there's probably something to do with, like, the Saturn return or something like that. I don't know, but...
What's the Saturn return?
Hold on, let me ask Karen how long the Saturn return...
How many years between the Saturn return? 29.
Well, it's a moot point because it's 29 years.
Yeah.
But, so, apart from the fact that Worster says that Shockley needs to get shaken up and there's an earthquake,
yes.
Does that have a resonance with Rahi returning to essence?
It's the Rahi gang, the guys who put out the concept. They're having a little shake-up in their own little world. But the interesting point is it happens... It happens right when Worster hears finally the Evergreens.
Oh, yeah. Who Worster doesn't actually take much interest in when he hears
right.
them.
But then
he trivializes them.
Yes, but then he got to experience them and found it had a pretty good effect on... It was Vern Christensen's sister, who Dave had known for a long time, and Vern had died in 98, so she used the Evergreens to talk to Vern.
Oh, and Worster got to hear the tape?
I think it was on his phone. He got to hear it as it was happening.
Oh, okay.
So he got to experience the Evergreens, and he wasn't disappointed.
Would have been pretty interesting for Worster to talk to the Evergreens and ask them about cosmic awareness. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, which I've done. I've got the stuff on that from the Evergreens point of view.
See, Worster probably believes he knows
Did
what...
Did you hear that? I've
yeah.
got the stuff, and that's part of the reason why I talk about the war between the Evergreens and cosmic awareness, but I've never revealed that.
Oh, well, what can you say about that now?
Nah, I don't want to say about it yet.
Well, see, that may be why Worster doesn't want to deal with the Evergreens, because if Worster knows what, from his perspective, he knows what cosmic awareness is. He doesn't need any competing factions to come in and tell him something that he doesn't already know or something different from what he already knows.
Right. He doesn't want to hear that. That's the resistance. He didn't know I checked out the cosmic awareness movement through Evergreens. He doesn't know that.
Right.
I don't think I told him. And if I did, it was in passing, and he didn't ask about it.
Right.
In some ways, it's a big block.
Yeah. Well, how are they different?
I don't know. Big difference, but.
Well, your cosmic awareness, presumably. Is the fundamental awareness or the clear light from which all of creation emanates and arises. Now, the Evergreens appear to be some satellite group of astral beings within the cosmology of the created cosmos that have a perspective on things.
Yeah.
So they are not God, but they say that they will know God. Now, awareness itself would have to be God if it's really truly the source.
Yeah, but it tries to even go beyond that. It's not even... Because God is a Rahi concept. It's something. It's everything.
It depends on what God evokes for you. When I say God in this instance, I'm saying the source from which all of the creation would emanate, including all the levels, metaphysical levels down to the physical material level, all phenomena.
And that would be, as Worster explains in the Eben show. It is not the phenomena, even if it was all of it. It is something that's not involved with sensation.
That's right. It's not involved with the created universe at all. It's completely above light speed and above all vibratory frequencies. It doesn't have anything to do with phenomena at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what Cosmic Awareness claimed that it represented itself as.
Right.
Ralph Doobie.
Right.
So it's a complex issue, but so that's what's being built here in Dobbstown is a discussion about whether that statement that you just said awareness is more important than spirits of Evergreens or This would be in the astral body quadrant question.
Mm-hmm.
But if it leaks into the others, what's who's real? Evergreens or awareness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear...
What are the highlights of the significance of Will in terms of his Zenocrony and being enfolded in all this? Okay, he goes to school, he goes to the college that Worcester had an influence over, ends up meeting Jerry and creating I'm Not Beer, and does a nice job of it, and creates about as close as you can through the visual acoustic medium of video an after image of the Android meme. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Yeah, which includes the Android meme being the cobwebs of Rai.
Right, the Android meme being the cobwebs of my Rai, yeah. So if he brought his little video thing up?
Oh, here it is. Now my tiny note literally on YouTube. Okay, so we bring that up. So we're just going to let it run?
Yeah, press go, and we'll just watch it, and then when you see an image, pause it and tell me the significance of the image.
Well, there's nothing but images. I don't want to pause at every image.
Okay, well, just tell me anything that
comes
out at you. Yeah.
Whatever, utter occasional image.
Okay.
Okay, so it begins. You want to start yours? Tell me when you start.
Okay, ready, set. Oh, wait, hold on a sec. It's going to be hard to get these to start at the same time because the time lag on the internet.
Well, get it going and then just put it back. Just move, let it go forward so it doesn't.
Okay, I'm letting
stop.
It go forward to the point. The I'm Not Beer just comes up. That's the first thing. I'm not the text.
Right,
I'm not beer.
Is your red bar going along? Because you know.
Yeah, the red bar is filled up. It's already filled up.
So put the dot. Put the beginning back at the beginning.
Okay.
In the circle. And then a second, we'll let it go, and it'll start. Okay,
First, hold down on your button, and then when I say three, we'll let off your button.
At three?
Yeah, three. Okay, so one, two, three, let go.
Okay.
Okay, so it's starting to run now. I'm not beer. Yeah.
It's almost like it's broken.
Yeah.
It's glitches.
Right.
Broken Android meme.
I like that effect.
Yeah. So,
snow on a TV, Linden Rouge.
Okay, don't you say anything. I'm just going to say stuff.
All right.
Okay, what's he doing in that quadrant? Car, automobile, Paris, Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Mantle, Seven, McCarthy, Ant, some radio guy, May Brussel, Beatniks, kissing insects or brain stuff or something, army, a Korean War, automobile, Egypt, I don't know who that was, someone else, some show, then McCarthy again. He kind of repeats the images and slows them down a bit. Egypt again, car, there was a 22, no, it couldn't be, can't be 22 yet. So, Marsh McLuhan. So you follow what I said.
Oh, yeah. Those are all elements in your chart, in the chart under LaRouche? Oh, this guy's amazing. I didn't even get all that.
Okay, McLuhan. I don't know what that is. Mao, that's China. Beatles.
The one you didn't get would have been Nixon, I think.
Yeah, detective. McLuhan's a detective bureau, detective. Mao again, I think. Tea dancing, something about the woman's head. Oh, there's the Kennedy Zapruder film, then The Cube, then Dylan, then Playboy.
Wow.
Abby Hoffman, hippie beatniks. No, hippies. And 22, and what's that? An airplane? It's the airplane as opposed to Elvis. Rock singers, Dylan. Empire State Building, New York, Bezo, I guess that's about it.
That woman, she's the dot on the head, that's the Indian philosophy coming to the West.
Okay, yeah, William Irwin Thompson. Krishnamurti, atomic bomb. I don't know what that is. And
New York.
You've seen a yippie, then the hard hats fighting the yippie, then some insect, and then dancing, then the chromosome, then the geometry, then Abbie Hoffman, another Abbie Hoffman guy, yippie, and then hard hats, and then some kind of war imagery, then bikers, and, lab guy, Lou Reed, tanks or something, or cars, insects, whatever, crucifixion, woman, space guy, I think, 18, Nixon, Watergate, that'd be Watergate. So every image, I'm not getting them all, but they all fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arthur Croker.
This is going to be tough.
Yeah, what's that? 32, that's Brown, the football player. Jim Brown, and I don't know who that was. Disco dancing. No rockets. 14. Disco again, I think. He always has the right geometric form. There's Johnny Rotten from Sex Pistols, disco. Movie. Geometric form. Hollywood. Los Angeles. Mountain. Which is in my quadrant, but he has a reason for having the mountain there. Because Bob Dobbs is in there, that's right. And then dancing and more lab stuff. He does have every, you know, part of the DNA in there, every geometry. Okay, so you got some of that, right?
Yeah.
Bob Dobbs. Yoga, the chakras, Garrett Dean, the affinity sign, flash by, I think. Yoga again. Magic Johnson, he's in that quadrant. Wayne Gretzky. The mountain, geometric form, planet itself or something, and then the chakric yoga again, satellite, there was some Jackson 32, Garrett, yogi again, some, you know, plant DNA stuff, immune deficiency, I think that's the immune deficiency, more molecular stuff. Magic Johnson, Gretzky, satellite, something there.
Chakras.
Chakras, yeah. More biological stuff. Garrett and dancing, disco. Johnson again. So he repeats the stuff within the quadrant, you know. You see it again. So it actually gives you a chance to start to know. And he's repeating the Wayne Gretzky and Garrett. And then the infinity sign. The two zeros is what he's thinking of. The two zeros.
Mm-hmm.
They're not touching. But they are supposed to be going to touch. Don't know what that is. More bioplasms. Blastoderms or something. And Will Erickson. Who says, starring Robert Dobbs as Lynn LaRouche, Marshall McLuhan, William Rotondo, Arthur Croker, and Bob Dobbs. It's Robert Dobbs as. Morgan, I think, is his girlfriend. I met two or three of those people. We met in May. James was there. You know, when we were there in May?
Right.
Yeah, I met them. And talked to them for an hour or two down on Venice Beach. You know, on Santa Monica area. So.
Oh, that was excellent. I'm glad we went through it.
Yeah.
I didn't get all the references, you know, I knew he was doing the four quadrants, but I just didn't really sink into me that he was literally, you know, getting the 322 elements in there, or whatever, however many elements there are in your chart.
Yeah. He does a good job of getting it all in there.
Yeah. Now how do these people find, you know, images of what they, you know, to take your chart, and then if I was going to, like, try to hunt down an image for every one of those things on the Internet, it would be a phenomenally huge task for someone like me, but I guess if you work with film, you know how to find archival stuff.
Yeah, and he said he took stuff off of Safe Harbor TV, the cable TV network. You'll hear it in the interview. He goes into the technical stuff.
Yeah.
But he had a hard time finding everything.
Oh, I'll bet.
But it took him months.
He must have been passionate to want to to devote himself to do it, though. I mean, obviously, his devotion to your chart, he realizes there's something significant there worth the effort.
Yeah.
And did you guys make it clear in your interview that he displays all the elements of the chart in each of the quadrants? Because I didn't even get it till we just went through it just now.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it, but we'll do it again.
Yeah.
So maybe in the next interview, we could have you ask a few, after you hear it, might get some questions that might get on another angle. You ask some questions about them.
Okay.
And the chart or whatever you got from it. So that was pretty good, and listen to the interview and see, it's interesting how we're probing around. We don't know what we're going to make here. We kind of know, he and I, but he doesn't know how I'm going to evoke it without it sounding too megalomaniac. I don't want to take too much attention away from him. We're interviewing him, so to speak.
Right.
But the reason we're interviewing him is that it becomes my story. That's the amazing thing.
I know. You're like this vortex, Bob, of...
I'm a law of attraction incarnate.
Yeah, you're that object at the end of history that McKenna talked about.
That's right. That's what everybody's a movie towards.
Everybody's been doing the Bob dance and they don't even know it.
they're all miming me. They all want to be me. What's his name? Buzz has been making some YouTubes out of the last show, and one of them I say, James, we're trying to help people, get to the utopia that I'm in now, that I've worked hard for and have earned.
Right.
I'm declaring I'm in utopia.
Well, you are. I mean, you got the hot setup there.
Yeah.
That's
the amazing
thing. Carolyn put on Twitter that she was going down to watch the huge monster waves. Did you go down with her?
Yeah, and that was the rumor. They're 30 feet, but they weren't. They were only 12 feet or something. But it was we went to Jaws, and they weren't huge, but
uh-huh.
It was interesting watching them, and it was so rough the surface wouldn't go out. So then we went to this other beach, and something was happening there that never happened. Big waves, as big as almost, not the same kind, because Jaws swells into a cove, but this was a flat, major, stretched-out beach. So these waves were just rolling in, huge ones, and everybody was lined up, the tourists watching it. So that's what we ended up seeing, was a better scene at another beach.
Were there surfers out there?
No. It was so windy, the wind was coming off, blowing out to the sea, so they would have been just blown off their boards.
Oh.
So I spoke to one of the surfers near Jaws. I said, why aren't you guys at Jaws? And they were at this other place nearby Jaws. He said, it's too wild. And so it was common knowledge among people that the surfers couldn't. Oh, they heard there was warning on the radio, don't go out there, heavy riptide and all that. So it was just too, it was very raw and vicious.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty beautiful, just the rolling in big waves.
Right. Did you have any more contact with Doug Carr since the interview?
Yeah, I pointed out to him about the Tom Dobbs movie thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That, and a couple other things, but not too long. I'm just waiting till he gets back from Sundance.
Yeah, so as far as you know, he doesn't know about the charts and about what Bob's all about and all that.
Yeah, one kid heard the interview. I let him hear he was involved. He lives in Brooklyn. He was involved in the preamble, and I ran him through all the coincidences. He was amazed. So I sent him the first unedited one.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote back saying, well, the guy ends up giving you the brush off and doesn't even get it, and blah, blah, blah. So he complained about the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both young, similar age. And so I haven't had a chance to tell him, but I forwarded what Doug Carr said to me. He said, great interview. So I sent it to this guy to show him, hey, no, Doug isn't throwing it off.
Yeah.
So I'm going to explain to him when I get him on the phone that we had to, it was agreed to be half an hour. We went over half an hour. Then we had a glitch. Phones went off. So then when we got back on, we just got back into his world, asked him the question about time. He did it, and then he had to go. So it does sound like a brush off, that he doesn't get it, but that's not what really was going on.
Right. Yeah, and also, you can't, you know, Doug didn't know you from Adam when we first called, so why should anyone expect him to know the significance of, you know, what you're all about based on a half an hour conversation on the phone about him, about Doug?
Yeah, well, the thing is that this guy, he's pretty impressed with me, the other guy, and he's 8-bit. He's known as 8-bit, and he's the one who published a post on his website. He had the first exclusive of my father. He was the first to post that picture.
Oh, yeah. Did he do the one with the revolving, with it merging into the JR?
Oh, that was Octavian.
Oh, okay.
But the image they had, see, I took a photograph over to his place in Manhattan a few years ago, and he copied it, and then he put it up on his website. So he got the exclusive. But so he's into me, and he just thinks that this kid was stupid not picking up the amazing meaning of what the synchronicity should be pointing to.
Right.
Like, you know.
No.
But we'll see. I mean, it's pretty shocking, you know.
Yeah. No, and he's...
You couldn't fucking take it, the fact that he doesn't know anything about any of it.
Right.
Have you got over that?
Yeah, no,
You said, yeah, no.
Well, I'm over. Well, I've digested it, and so it's made me a better person.
So what happened is that Sue, I got Sue Bone on the phone, and a friend of hers that we know in Halifax is here in Maui for a few months. So I had her come over. She Sue listened to the interview. So we were talking about the interview. So Sheila was hearing all about it, you know. And at the very end, she had the Scott Norris syndrome. She refused to believe the kid knew nothing about Church Subgenius or anything. That's impossible. So I told her about you. I said, we now have two people who just can't get the bob, just can't believe it.
I know. And of all of the people in the world who would be freaked out, you wouldn't think it would be me.
Yeah.
I've had as much experience, personal, first-hand experience of you as anybody, and... I'm still
not as much as Bob Marshall, and so I was telling him how about you and Sheila, and he says, yeah, he says, you know, Bob Marshall says, you know, probably I have seen more of Bob than anybody, you know, since early 80s, so
he took it in stride.
Oh, it's a foregone conclusion about me. He knows that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, have you read the Bob Carr book? He wanted to know if you read the book.
Bob Carr wanted to know if I read it? No, I haven't.
Bob Marshall.
No, I haven't.
Do you have it?
I do not have it, no.
Okay, because he was surprised you didn't have it, but anyways, I said you've heard a lot of it through the Worcester and Bob Carr interviews. You know the gist of it, and you've looked into UG, Krishnamurti, and all that.
Right.
And were influenced by it. But Bob found, first of all, he noted there were, like, it seems to be 22... xenochronous points in the Doug Carr interview. He had them up. There was 22, and then I mentioned, well, you repeated one there. And you go, okay, 21. But then I said, oh, you missed the Tom Dobbs. Oh, okay. Add that back in, so it became 22 again. He had repeated the word anamorphic. He had noticed it.
Well, he should list them in an email and send them where I can see them. You know, I'd like to see them.
Maybe we'll do that, yeah. And then, but... he's finished the Bob Carr book, and he's got pages of notes, or little stickers, you know, little points, so that he knows where it is in the book, of anecdotes about UG that said, well, I've seen Bob do that.
Oh, okay, cool. So, and that'll be coming up when you interview him. He'll go into all of that.
Yeah, it'll be the part that it'll bring out the part that Worcester and Bob Carr aren't aware of.
Yeah, and that'll happen in the next couple weeks, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe within the month, anyways. I mean, we'll do Will probably next Monday. Then that'll be that, and then hopefully Bob Marshall will be available.
Right.
So he was saying, you know, he was laughing a lot reading the book because he had to deal with it. Well, I've seen whatever UG did. He said, I've seen Bob do that. You know, you get a whole list of them.
Cool.
So, he knows whatever the Android meme is in relation to me, on the level that I see it. Like I didn't need the kid to know me. You and Sheila need the kid to know me, or did, you know. Sheila still does. You maybe have adapted.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need to. He has no problem knowing that the Android me reflects me. He'd have no problem agreeing with you that I'm the, or your idea that I'm the alpha omega of the universe.
Yep. And you can be, and you can, and you can, and you, and you have so many shades of going incognito on all these different levels, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, when are we going to hear some more of the CKLN shows? I'm getting behind, and he's not posting them.
No, he posted yesterday's.
It's not up there now. It's not up on the.
You mean put file?
Yeah, it's not on put file.
You don't go there. I don't go there. It's up on Five Bodied.
Oh.
So. Yeah, and the. Okay, you go to five. You go to audio archives.
Okay.
You know where that is?
Hold on. I'm glad he's not putting them on PutFile anymore, because it was a pain in the ass to download from PutFile.
Yeah, so they
audio archives.
They'll eventually get to PutFile, but I think it hooks to PutFile. You know. Anyways, you go down to
It's not there.
Wait. He's got cash flow. Wait a minute. Oh, I got mixed up. Wait a minute. He's got cash flow. The 7th and 14th. You see that, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, why did I think? Because I called him up and thanked him for that. What the heck? January 18th. Under CKLN.
Let's see, where are we now? You're in audio archives?
Yeah, like, what do you do? You go into audio archives, you see the stickies, right?
Oh, hold on. Okay, I'm going into audio archives. Yeah, sticky. Yeah, got it.
So where were you looking?
Audio archive, but I wasn't looking at the stickies. So I'm looking at the stickies. There's Bob Media Ecology squared at the top.
Yeah, Bob Archives is what you click on, the second one.
Oh, okay. All right. And do I go to the bottom?
Have you ever been here?
No.
Okay, look at the top. It says CKLN.
Okay, CKLN, Bob and Mike show. He's got December 21st. What? So what? I don't know. What do I click on next, Bob?
No. Do you see CKLN? Right?
Yeah.
And what is the bottom of the CKLN section?
Oh, January 18th, hour 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
After 2009.
Oh, okay. And
He needs to put a colon after the 9. Like,
oh, I see.
After 2008.
And but the last show you did previous to that was December the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st. Okay, there's a couple there I got to get. The last one I heard was the 14th, so I got to get the 21st and the 18th.
Yeah, and there is the January 11th? January 11th. We did one with, but that's not up yet, because Greg was in Vancouver. Mons Quaz didn't get it, but he'll be sent it by Greg once he gets it going, organized. So,
right.
Yeah, there'll be one stuck up before January 18th eventually.
Okay, great.
Yeah, January 11th. So, but you got the 18th right there.
Good.
So, you never go here, right?
I didn't fucking even know you guys were updating this part of the website. I just went to put file, and I would get the cash flows directly from, you know, from, what's his face?
Well, you might want to start listening. Like, go down the bottom and listen to the Bob and Says and stuff, the tiny chart. Okay, you see where it says April 19, 2007, Bob Dobbs and Sheehan 8-Bit Con?
Yeah.
That's 8-Bit. That's the guy I was telling you that.
Okay.
There's lots of stuff you might not, out to lunch with Ben Watson. You may not have heard some of the things in here.
Right.
You got the Carol Delia Quigley, Carol Dean, Bob Never things. You might have heard those.
Yeah, I've heard some of those. I did hear the Ben Watson from when you were in Europe a few months ago. I probably have heard most of this.
Yeah.
Looks like they have some old, is there some old CKLN stuff from like... Yeah.
89, 90, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I might want to grab some of that.
Right. Okay, so we're up to date, I think. Any new movies or news?
No. Karen asked me if Carolyn had any advice for post-gallbladder surgery. I don't know. She probably needs to go to the website to...
Right, or you Carolyn email Carolyn. Don't ask me. I can't say anything.
Okay. So, very good. No particular movies or anything to talk about that I can think of now.
There's some very good McLuhan YouTubes being done by Buzz. There's a lot of new Bob YouTubes, you know.
Right. I guess you haven't been watching movies. You don't have any movies to recommend lately?
No. Did you any more? No, Fringe hasn't started up again yet, right?
No, next tomorrow night. I think it's not even tomorrow night because of the election thing, and it starts up again in, I don't know, maybe tomorrow night or maybe a week from tomorrow. I forget.
Okay. All right, well, if I think of anything else, I'll let you know. Call you back because today's Monday, right?
So, yeah.
A little bit of Tuesday left.
Right.
And you go to work. What time? Six, so you leave at 5 your time to work on Tuesday night? No, you don't work Tuesday night.
Yeah, I go to work Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. But you usually go out.
I usually go out Tuesday evening. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's, let me see. I posted, what did I post in 5, being 5 bodies? It might have been, you should check that more often, maybe. Look at the threads we post. Do you ever do that?
I don't check the 5 body too much. I am keeping up with the posts that go to the McLuhan list.
Yeah, and often they're duplicates, so that's all right.
Actually, I do have something here, which is that... I can get into the McLuhan list. I can get into the email, but I'm having trouble getting in. Remember when we went in last week or a week ago to look at pictures?
Yeah.
I'm unable to access that. Now, I was trying to download some of those pictures, and the Google people apparently thought I was like a spam bot because they saw me downloading one thing after another, and because of the repetition of what I was doing, I think they thought I was a spam bot, and it looks like they blocked me from getting in there. How do you? What's the
email was Andrew?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know anything.
He says everything looks okay, but I just want to.
Where did you talk to Andrew?
Well, I got his answer today. He says everything looks okay from this end. Let me know if you're okay. So I tried to get back into that space we were in last week, and it doesn't recognize my username or password anymore. But it does.
Now, that happened to me this morning, and then I waited a while. I did. It does say fill in your email again, so I did it. So maybe Andrew fixed it. So say that. Go through the doesn't work process and indicate. Oh,
what do you type in for a username? You type in McLuhan L, right?
I put purple. No, your name.
Oh.
That you're registered under purple. I put in purple. That's
okay.
Name. Maybe it should be purple at 5body.com, but I just put purple. I didn't even know if it would do anything. Then a few hours later it was fixed, so maybe Andrew responded, but I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'll have to fiddle around with it some more then. It doesn't matter that I can get into that portion as long as I can see the emails.
Yeah. Okay, so let's leave that for now.
If okay.
If anything, I'll call you back.
All right.
Okay, talk to you later. And thanks for doing that today with Will.
Yeah, it'll be.